everybody. Welcome back to this week's Wheat Fields Wonderland. I hope you enjoy my story about, it's called the Beverly Hills Bubble, and basically how I realized that I was living in the Beverly Hills Bubble when I came home from Canada this year. And oh my God, is it a bubble? Okay, here we go. Is there such a thing as the Beverly Hills Bubble? Well, when I arrived back in Los Angeles after the Christmas holidays, after spending an extended stay in the Calgary airport on my return due to holiday flight interruptions, you would think the first thing I would have noticed when I finally landed at LAX were the warm winter winds and the palm trees gently swaying amid a sunshiny azure blue sky. A quintessential California winter day. Well, you'd be wrong. You see, when I departed LAX, the first leg of my WestJet two-day trek to the Great White North was delayed by several hours. Normally, I would be irritated and stressed about the delay. But as I took a good look around, I noticed that Terminal 2 at LAX had been completely renovated since my trip the year prior. Last year, there was only one kiosk in the whole terminal where you could only buy, basically, prison food. So when I realized that several new boutiques, restaurants, and bars were now at my disposal, I landed at Barney's Beanery and indulged in some tacos and wine, chatting with other stranded passengers until my WestJet flight actually departed for Calgary. I felt grateful that the spiffy new terminal had been a comfy distraction from my delayed flight. Then, after spending 12 days surrounded by the beauty of what is a Manitoba winter, with the crisp cold air and clean white snow making the merriment of the season come alive before your eyes, a picturesque Christmas postcard of beauty, I was once again sidelined in an airport on my return, the new international terminal in Calgary, to be precise. Not only is the Calgary International Terminal large, boasting of many restaurants, bars, and tiny little shops, but it is also clean. Clean as a whistle. Pristine. You could actually eat off the floor. Seriously. So when I finally landed back at LAX, back in Terminal 2, the newly renovated terminal, one which seemed like a revamped miracle only 2 weeks prior, all I noticed when I disembarked the plane was filth. Garbage strewn about, mobs of people everywhere, more garbage, and miserable and happy people breathing in an air that would not be described as odorless. Compared to the clean airports of Calgary, Terminal 2 looked like a dump, an old dump that needed a renovation. It likely would have not struck me as odd if I hadn't been marveling at its beauty and improvements only 2 weeks prior. And as I got in my Uber to head home, I started to really take in the scenery around me. The massive freeways, the rundown stores, the dilapidated buildings, the unmanicured lawns, the worn-out street signs. Not to fail to mention the homeless people hanging out in the middle of busy streets looking for handouts or trying to sell you oranges. Compared to the sunny Manitoba snow-kissed countryside, I felt like I was heading into a poverty-stricken war zone. As we continued our drive down the increasingly noticeably dilapidated La Cienega Boulevard, with the majority of the business having bars on their windows, I remember saying to my Uber driver, "God, LA's an ugly city. It's a dirty, ugly city." Pondering those thoughts, I felt the aching of my heart, sad having left my mom standing in tears at the little Brandon airport as she hugged me goodbye at 4 a.m. earlier that morning. I began to wonder what the hell I was doing living so far from my family in this dirty cesspool of a city, one I had proudly defended for years as my city. Then, just as the Uber car crossed over Olympic and Wilshire, suddenly the topography changed as dramatically as if a fairy had used her magic wand to cast a beauty spell on everything that fell within its magical range. The grass was cut, the houses were pretty, the sidewalks were clean, the cars were nice, the bars were gone from the restaurant windows. Oh, I was home. I was back in Beverly Hills, home at last. Then later, after some soul-searching and once the homesick, aching feeling finally dissipated, I realized that living, working, and playing in my comfy 3-mile radius had made me rather oblivious to life outside of my Beverly Hills bubble. I basically existed in a beautiful Beverly Hills bubble of life. Kind of like living in Stephen King's Under the Dome, except this was a dome that no one wanted to escape. I guess Los Angeles really is a city of neighborhoods, and each one has its own type of beauty and qualities which draw people to live there. Santa Monica's beach lovers, West Hollywood lifestyle acceptance, Los Feliz artsy-fartsy folks, and the scary Scientology Center, Venice hippy-dippy granola peeps. Well, you get the picture. When I moved to LA, I had one friend and she lived in Beverly Hills, in the heart of the Beverly Hills bubble. And as I've lived with her for a while, I began to feel comfortable in my new neighborhood to the point that I've never left. So here I am and here I be, so Beverly Hills Bubble, you are stuck with me. Being stuck in the Beverly Hills Bubble isn't a bad thing. It's definitely more of an expensive thing. But the people who live in the Beverly Hills Bubble eventually acclimate to the so-called life. So how do you know when you become acclimated to life inside the bubble? Okay, so now I have come up with 28 things that strike me as pretty much Beverly Hills unique. So you know that you are a part of the Beverly Hills Bubble when, or also you know when you are not part of the Beverly Hills Bubble when these things strike you as odd, okay? So here are 28 things that you know you're part of the Beverly Hills Bubble when you realize that, you know, this is how you think. One, going to an event or dinner west of the 405 or east of La Brea feels so far, it makes you wonder if you should pack an overnight bag. Two, you don't even notice the Bentleys, Ferraris, or Maseratis. Now, a 1998 Honda del Sol, on the other hand, makes you look. Three, most men you know have a manicurist. Four, being offered champagne when you are shopping in high-end boutiques isn't a treat, it's a requirement. 5. House wine at $18 a glass seems reasonable. 6. You are shocked that McDonald's doesn't have a gluten-free menu. 7. When you see a 65-year-old man with a 20-something girl, you automatically assume that they're dating. 8. Buying a $1,600 Missoni dress on a 75% off sale doesn't mean you spent $400. It means you saved $1,200. Okay, this one's my personal favorite, obviously. Okay, 9. A studio apartment without a parking stall at $2,400 a month seems like a deal. After all, you're walking distance of Fred's at Barney's. 10. Children need to take tests to get into preschool. And as a parent, you stress that your child will act like a normal 3-year-old and fuck it up. 11. Beverly Hills has 2-hour free parking garages, so you make sure you don't go over 2 hours free when you're buying your $300 pair of blue jeans because having to pay a dollar for parking would really piss you off. 12. You know a few words in Farsi. And you actually know what Farsi is. 13. You know not to call Jaime the plumber on a Saturday. 14. Christian Louboutin, Brunello Cucinelli, Zadig and Voltaire. These are words that easily roll off your tongue and are likely hanging in your closet. 15. Yes, it is true, a designer bag is a must-have, a total necessity. 16. You can spot a knockoff bag no matter how good, and you sneer at the thought of carrying one. 17. You eye heart organic, and Whole Foods feels like home to you. 18. Running into celebrities at Whole Foods is so normal, you don't even give it a second thought or give them a second glance. Okay, maybe a second glance, but it's not a tweet-worthy moment. 19. It would be weird to go out to dinner at Craig's and not run into someone famous. If you didn't, you would think that something was seriously off in the universe. 20. Of course you read your horoscope and visit your psychic regularly. 21. You are shocked to find out that not everybody has a therapist. 22. You have a list of ists in your Rolodex, internists, gastroenterologists, dentists, therapists, facialists, dermatologists, and they grow yearly. 23. You think big, puffy, bloated, collagen-filled lips are the new normal. 24. Your hairdresser knows where all the bones are buried. Yeah, she does. Oh, or he does. They do. They really do. 25. Beverly Hills housewives really are so busy that they need a nanny for each kid and an assistant to keep track of the nannies. 26. Beverly Hills is a smoke-free city, so going to clubs in Hollywood makes you feel like you've licked an ashtray when you leave. You forget that people still smoke and are appalled that they do. 27. You feel safe walking anywhere at night in the Beverly Hills bubble, but anywhere east of La Cienega, you definitely would Uber to after dark. 28. And lastly, you know you live in the Beverly Hills bubble when you think your life is normal. Okay, folks. Well, that's all I have for, that's all she wrote for tonight. And it's March. March has come in like a lion for me, so I'm hoping it goes out like a lamb. And I just want to say have a great week and be happy and count your blessings. And smooches. Ciao for now. Hasta luego.